preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3 again. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. Last week, this is what we shared with you, listeners. We shared the seven principles. The first post of the oracles of God, or seven foundational teachings. And we mentioned that there are seven of them. And we asked you to write them down for those of you who listened to us last week. I'd like to go over them again this week, so that we can also be established in them. These seven principles of first oracles of God are doctrine of Christ, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, or doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Seven of them. We explain a little bit about the doctrine of Christ, knowing who Christ is. We said it's important that we know whom we worship. Like Jesus said to the woman in John chapter 4, that the Samaritans were worshippers, but they did not know whom they were worshipping. And that it's not the will of God for us to worship, and we do not know whom we worship. And we emphasize the importance of the revelation, person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We highlighted the fact that when Peter saw that revelation, Jesus said, flesh and blood had not revealed it to him. It came by a revelation. But we said that yes, it must come from heaven, but the seed of revelation is sown in us when we are taught the proper thing. And we said that Peter came to that revelation because by following the Lord, the seed of revelation has been deposited in him that brought forth that revelation. And we trust that as we come and as we are taught the word of the Lord, we are sowing the seed of revelation so that we can also grow in revelation. And that's our purpose of coming. The reason why we come to you on this program is to share with you about Christ, His cross, and His church. Person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole book of Revelation is written to reveal who Christ is. And that's why we, in this last day, we must know this person. Confusion is setting in. Jesus himself said that in the last day, there are many people who will come and they will call themselves Christ. They will call themselves the Anointed One. And then it is important that we know which one. It's important that we have clear understanding and clear light in this last day about who Christ is. This ought to be established in us as his first principle. Like we say, unfortunately, many do not have this revelation. But thank God, God is a God of redemption. He will always come to us again and again. So we go again to share with you, to continue this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read a scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 3 as we continue in this teaching. And I want to read from verse 15. And it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preach unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, receive up into glory. I've just read these scriptures to show us that we should take what the Word of God says. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, the knowing or having a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ should not have come with controversy. But that's exactly what happened over the period of the church history. There have been many other controversies about Christ. And then it is okay, it is understood. But we believe that if we are simple in seeking, as the scripture say, we must not be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. In Christ, everything is simple. It's when we are outside Christ that everything becomes controversial. So the scripture says here, without controversy, there should be no controversy. We just want to look at the Word of God, what the Word of God says, and receive a revelation, an understanding that will bless us and will change us. Just like Peter, a fisherman without education, was able to receive a revelation that changed him, gave him a key, gave him the authority in the kingdom of God. So also we just want to come with that simplicity. Say, without control, as great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angel, preached all to the Gentiles, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. But another thing I want you to see here, it says it should not be with a controversy, but yet it's a mystery. If something is a mystery, it means it has to be revealed. It means it's coded. It has to be uncoded. And who will uncode it for us? The Spirit of God through the Word of God to reveal to us this mystery of God coming to us and manifesting as man in the flesh and died and then was justified in the Spirit, because Jesus' death and resurrection was accepted, preached unto the Gentiles or nations, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. This is Christ again. This is Christ being presented to us today. Listen, I want to say to us, we do not have three gods, we only have one God. The scripture is clear. What is that scripture? O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The one God in the New Testament did not become three gods in the New Testament. Let me repeat that again. The one God, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, does not suddenly become three gods in the New Testament. Okay? So we see here, and it's important that we understand this. It's important that we understand that we do not have, as Christians, we do not have three gods. We have one God who manifests himself in different ways. Particularly, he manifests himself as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But that does not make him three. It's just that he manifests himself. These are these major manifestations. In the Old Testament, he was manifested as the Father. In the Gospel, and he was manifested as the Son. And then in the Epistles and in the church age, he's given to us as the Holy Spirit. Just one God. It's simple, but so much controversy. And yet the scripture said there should be no controversy. But that this is a mystery. But it's a mystery that must be opened, that must be revealed to us. And that in this mystery, there's a blessing. I pray that this mystery will be given to us again, because we need it. Jesus said, upon this revelation, decoding of this mystery, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we said to you last week that the church is not a building, it's a people. It's simply saying, upon those who will see this revelation in the church, I will grant to them that they will have power, they will have authority, and the kingdom of hell will not be able to prevail against them. I will give them the authority of the kingdom. And so this is the reason why we must trust God for this revelation without controversy. We must trust God that this mystery of godliness will be revealed to us. I pray that this will be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read some scripture for us again as we're looking at the revelation of who Christ is. I want to go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11. I want to read this, and I'm sure that you will understand that this is the word of God. Verse 17, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Please, the person being spoken about here is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come." The person we're expecting to return today is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who art to come, because thou art taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Please, I want you to see, and has reigned, and will reign. So the person we are being introduced to here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and is addressed as, "O Lord God Almighty." So that's the revelation. That's why I said earlier that the book of Revelation is given. I said this last week. The whole essence of the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was wrongly titled as Revelation of John, but it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to reveal Jesus Christ to us in all his glory and power and mightiness, so that we can know him. It is understanding this that we will know the power, we will know our Savior, we will know the power behind that name. When we call that name, the enemy will know that we know whom we know, and we know whom we are worshiping, that we are not worshiping a smaller God, a minor God, that we are not worshiping a prophet, that we are not worshiping just a master, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, revealed to us, receive up into glory, preach unto the Gentiles, justified in the Spirit. This is the mystery. And there's a power of godliness that this will impart to the church, if once again God will be gracious to us to reveal this revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Now, I want to read scripture for us carefully, because scriptures will interpret scriptures. And please do like the Berean Christians and look at these things for yourself as you take your scriptures and you read your scriptures and you ponder your scripture. Let that spirit of revelation come to you. We are taking it in a very simple fashion. We don't want to make controversy out of it. We just want to teach the word of God the way it is. Again, and I want just to read some scripture for you from the book of Titus. Let's ponder on this scripture, what they are saying to us. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "But hath in due times manifested his word through the preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Okay, so if you say Jesus is our Savior, this scripture is saying this Jesus is God our Savior. Is God our Savior. Now please move on with me to chapter 2 of Titus, and I want to read verse 10. "Not polluting, but showing all good fidelity, that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." The doctrine of Christ again. Our Savior. God our Savior. This is written to the church, because the apostles, they knew that the church of their day had a revelation. They taught this revelation. This revelation to the people of their day, and we need to have this revelation. Now, please move with me to the same Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ." How about that, listener? Looking at that blessed hope. What hope? The hope of the glorious appearing, the one who is to come, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's why we say Jesus is not a minor God. He's not a small God. He's the Almighty God. Here Paul says he's the great God, and he is our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? God came as man to save us. It is not one lesser God that came to save man. It's God himself who came in the human flesh. He took up the form of man in order to have blood to give to us, to shed on the cross so that we can be. But that does not reduce him. That did not reduce him. That did not bring him down. That did not make him a minor God. He's the Almighty God. He's the very God himself who came down to die for us, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Please, let's move on. That's book of Titus chapter 3, and I want to read again for you, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man, had appeared. I'm sure you can see the light clearly, that the apostles, they knew what they believed. They knew what they taught the Christian of their day. There was no controversy. In fact, as I read church history, it was towards a particular time that they began to have controversies, and they called Council of Nicaea for theologians and clergymen to come and debate this, and they approach it intellectually and all that. And there was so much controversy. But for people who follow God, it is not a theological issue. For people who follow, yes, the scripture must affirm it, but it's not just a theological, it's a revelational issue. It's a mystery that must be revealed. And it means that we must teach this mystery in such a way that it will lead the seed or revelation to the hearts of God's people, so that at a time when it matures, that revelation will break forth upon them, just like it did for Peter. May I also read again the same Titus chapter 3 and verse 6. Which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Is that we have many saviors, or we just have one? From what we have read, my Bible doesn't say saviors. It just says one. Savior, Savior, Savior. And we can see here that it's the same Jesus that refers to God, our Savior. It's the same Jesus Christ that is called our Savior here. This is the testimony also of the Old Testament. This is the testimony of the Old Testament as well. Please, therefore, I would like to read also Isaiah for us. Can we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 40? And I want us to see that this understanding is the same thing. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and we'll see what the scripture has to say to us. So please, listener, let the scripture speak to us. Let us receive the revelation without bringing any controversy into this that God has given to us. And we will be blessed as it takes time to ponder. Please, listener, as you listen to me, do not be confused by many things you have been taught in the past. Please be helped by the light that is coming to you. Do not ponder. Do not wonder. Oh, but have been taught this differently. Please subject what you have been taught to the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. I know that, yes, there will be many questions. Of course, it is out of questions that we get answers. I know as I teach you, if there are many questions in your mind, it is good. It is good. That itself is very, very important that it should happen, because it is out of asking questions that we get to know where we are going, that we get to see where we are going. So please, as I read again for you, like I said, Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to read from verse 9. O Zion, by bringing good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, by bringing good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his shepherd. You know, Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You cannot confuse this. That is talking about Jesus Christ again, even in the Old Testament, because he is the shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the Lord God, our shepherd. He's the one who is coming again. He's the one who came. He's the one who is here with us now in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's called here the Lord, your Lord God. He is our shepherd. Please, let's go again to Matthew chapter 45. Because the scripture says, by two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. I want to read Isaiah 45, verse 15 for us. Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. This is the Old Testament now. Isaiah 45, verse 15. Verily thou art a God that hideth yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Now, God here is a God that hides himself. God is not hiding himself that we may not see him, but he's hiding himself that it is only those who truly seek him You remember the Bible says, seek him when he may be found. When we seek him with all our heart, we shall find him. I pray that you will have such a heart, a seeking heart. God hides this mystery. Yes, that's what he's saying. And it's important. The Bible says it is for God to keep it as a secret. It's the glory of the spiritual king to search it out, to find out what has been hidden. Even in the natural, we don't find gold, diamond anywhere. We dig deep in order to find them. Spiritual things, spiritual gold, spiritual treasure. We have to dig. The problem with many of us as Christians, we are lazy. We are just searching for somebody to tell us what he thinks, what he knows, without us searching for ourselves. Let's go back and search the scripture. Let's do like the Berean Christian who will search. Please, out of what you have heard today, go back to the scripture. Go with an understanding. Go with simplicity. Go to God. God, please, I want to have a revelation of Christ. Since it's important for me to have this revelation, since it's a foundational issue for me to be able to move on to perfection, since it's important for me to have this revelation so that you can build me, so that gates of hell cannot prevail against me, since it's important for me and for the church to have this revelation so that we can have the key of the kingdom like you gave it to the apostle in their day, God, I want to know. Please open this revelation to me. I believe you will not be disappointed if you go sincerely with your open heart. Lord, I want to know. That which has been hidden, that which is a mystery, open it to me that I may know. I read that passage again. Verily, thou art the God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. See, the New Testament and the Old Testament, they agree together. That this God is our God. He is our Savior. He is our God. The person who came down to die for us is God himself. But he took human flesh. He became man so that he can have blood to shed on the cross for us. He became one of us. He took upon himself the nature of human being, like the scripture says in the book of Hebrews. But he is God. He is manifested in these three major ways: as God, the Father, and as the Son, and as God the Holy Spirit. Please note, I did not say God the Son, because when he came in a human form as the Son. Okay? But that is important, and we'll be talking more about this. But I want you to see this understanding. It's important, and I pray that the Spirit of Revelation will come to you. Again, our reason for coming on this program is to present to you Christ, his cross, and his church. And that church, we are not talking of buildings, we are talking about people that God wants to build, people that God wants them to move on to perfection. God is waiting for a mature church. God is waiting for a church that is triumphant, that is militant. The Lord Jesus Christ is not coming back for a weak church. He's not coming for a powerless church. He's not coming back for a church that is defeated. He's coming for a glorious church, a church without spot, without a wrinkle. Some of you hearing me, you will be wondering, how would this happen in the midst of this, our degradation today, and backsliding and scandals in the church? But I believe that God will have his way. There are remnants who are seeking God. You may be hearing me this morning. Your heart yearns for something greater. You know the whole essence of your salvation is not just to be saved and sit in the church and be doing religion from one Sunday to another. Your heart yearns for something. You've been sitting and sitting, and you are asking yourself, is this all? Is this all that I gave my life to Christ for? Is this all about salvation? Is this all? Yes, God is coming to you. Because in this last day, God also is seeking. Like Jesus said, the Father is seeking for those who will worship him in truth and in spirit. If you are hearing me and you are one of them, please take this time and go to the Lord. It may be the beginning of your visitation. It may be the beginning of another day, of another dawn for you. For you to see your Savior in such a great light, in the way you have never seen him before. And this may be a day you have been waiting for. For God to come into your situation. For God to do a new thing in your life. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Christ. I pray that this will be established for you, and that you will be blessed for hearing today, that the Lord will bless you and his power will follow you and make manifest his glory in your life. In Jesus' name. This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315.
You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejorolua, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.